With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
First things first, on the eve of the NFL draft, is the next Aaron Rodgers part of this draft class? Devontae Smith continues to defend his, let's call it, slight frame. Should teams stop worrying about his weight already? And could the Baltimore Ravens actually draft Lamar's replacement tomorrow night? Pressing questions. Good Wednesday morning, everyone. Welcome to First Things First. Jenna Wolf, Nick Wright, Brandon Marshall, Kevin Wilds. Nick, is Lamar's future in Baltimore in doubt? Is it really?
Well, the one man it might be in doubt for joins us today. So we will discuss it in depth with him in about an hour.
We will get right to the source. That we will. In fact, there's a lot going on with the draft. A lot of moving parts, even though it's tomorrow night already. How about this? According to a report from Albert Breer, New England and Carolina have already laid down the groundwork for a deal that would move the Patriots into the number eight spot, potentially for them to draft Justin Fields. That's, of course, if Justin Fields, the Ohio State quarterback, ends up sliding past five that far. But, Nick, what do you think? Do you think the Patriots must come away with a quarterback in the first round of the draft tomorrow night?
Well, I personally think if this is available, if you can trade up and not have to trade into the top five and get Justin Fields, then that's something you've got to do. The question Patriot fans should ask themselves is this: would you rather have player X at 15, whomever the Patriots' best player available non-quarterback is at 15, plus Jimmy Garoppolo, or Justin Fields? Because I think you're going to be able to get Jimmy Garoppolo for your second round pick, and I think to move up from 15 to 8 or 15 to 9 is going to take your 15th pick plus your second round pick and maybe a little bit more. So it's kind of an A or B proposition. It is a question of, would you rather get a blue chip rookie plus Garoppolo and have that be your plan moving forward, or use that same capital on going out and getting Justin Fields? And I would prefer the Justin Fields option, Brandon, for two reasons. One is, I think he's going to be a very successful NFL quarterback. And the other one is, even if you think higher of Jimmy Garoppolo's ability than I happen to, nobody denies his availability has been a huge issue for him dating back to New England. When Brady was suspended those four games, Garoppolo made it through seven quarters and then got dinged up, which is why we then saw Jacoby Brissett. He got hurt his first year as a starter in San Francisco. He got hurt twice last year. So for those reasons, I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo is a safe bet. I actually think the rookie Justin Fields could be a safer bet, Brandon.
See, listen, I agree with you on the first point that they have to make a move. But it's not because of Jimmy Garoppolo. It's because this is a draft that is deep and loaded with talent at the quarterback position. We heard Kyle Shanahan say it a couple days ago. Look, there's five guys that could potentially be the guy. We know where Trevor Lawrence is going. Obviously, the talk around Zach Wilson, number two, my Jets. And then you have, you know, the rest of the guys. You have Justin Fields. I'm almost there, Jenna, but not quite. You have Justin Fields. You have Trey Lance. You have Mac Jones. Those are guys that can come in and play right away. And when you look at the Patriots situation, Wilds, Cam Newton didn't answer all the questions. There's still questions surrounding Cam Newton. What's going on with his arm? What's going on with his mechanics? Can he fix these things? We saw them produce when he was healthy and before COVID. I know for a fact that New England likes Cam Newton, and it's not some fake love story. They like Cam Newton. They made calls this offseason, like, who can help him? You know, can this quarterback guru get with him? Cam Newton chose to go back to his old guy, and he's working on those mechanics. But you still have to go out there and prove it. So if Cam Newton goes out there and prove it, you're going to see Cam Newton finish the season as the starting quarterback. If he doesn't, then who do you have sitting on a bench that can come in and step in and lead the team? Because right now you don't have that guy. Stidham is not that guy. So that's where you go to a Justin Fields or potential Trey Lance or even a Mac Jones, Wilds.
Okay, so here's what I think, Brandon. I think Cam is a great quarterback, and I know that the Patriots love him. I do not think he's going to start all 17 games. I think Jimmy G will be the starter for week one. And Nick, to answer your question, we did a little analysis, a little tail of the tape between the quarterbacks we could have and Jimmy G. If we could throw that up, Katanik. We'll go through them, each one. First one, cheap. I get it. Get a quarterback on a rookie deal. Jimmy G's owed about $25 million. We'll put the check mark over there. Ready to play. We know from the House of Athlete podcast, great podcast, Cam Newton's like, you know what? Takes a little while to figure this system out. Would not be an issue with Jimmy G. Could come in week one. Next up, knows the Patriots system. Okay, guess what? I know the ins and outs of the Patriot way, the Patriot culture. I got myself a Super Bowl ring. I know everything. There's no unknowns with Jimmy G. Number four, Super Bowl experience. Not only with the Patriots, also with San Francisco. Yeah, he made one bad pass. I guess that's a reason to ship him out of San Francisco. Last one. And Nick, Mangini mentioned this. I don't know if you picked up on this. Wields the sword of emotional revenge. When we had Mangini on last week, he said maybe Belichick makes this move to prove that he was right all along, that we know that this is still in his craw, that he wanted Jimmy G, and Kraft made the call to ship him out to keep Tom Brady happy. Now, don't get me wrong, we won a Super Bowl after Jimmy G was gone and Brady was happy. But now I think Bill Belichick wants to prove that he was right the entire time. And when Brady comes into Gillette this season, I think more than anything, Bill Belichick would love to see Tom Brady leave the game, losing with Bruce Arians, and Jimmy G winning that game.
Yeah, but the problem is, since Bill Belichick was forced to trade Jimmy Garoppolo, Jimmy has suffered three times as many injuries as Tom Brady did in his entire 20 years with New England. That you say he had one bad throw in the Super Bowl. I disagree with that. I think it was three consecutive possessions that ended because Jimmy Garoppolo couldn't make the right throw. But set that aside. The guy has been hurt every year he's been a full-time starter except for one. Brandon, it is not an exaggeration to say the most injury-prone quarterback in football is Jimmy Garoppolo. And I, for a team that had the stability of Brady missing time with an injury once, and it was when Bernard Pollard flew into his knee in week one of 08, to go, I don't think the Patriots necessarily want to sign up for a guy who's like, well, you know, maybe we'll have him for 12 games if we're lucky, because there's not another quarterback in football who's injured at a higher rate than Jimmy G over the last 4 years.
And could you imagine the headlines? It's like, well, they told you. You knew that. What were you thinking? Why would you go back to Jimmy G? I mean, you're better off going into the draft, and you have a guy that can give you more time. Well, he's still a rookie. He needs to develop. We threw him in there early, so of course he's going to make these mistakes. The Patriots like Cam Newton. From the outside looking in, his problems are fixable. We're talking about mechanics, playing against the Miami Dolphins. He's not setting the protection right. Come on, Cam Newton. There's a wheel. There's a nickel over here. They're coming. Can you pick him up? He's looking to his left. He gets smacked, Jenna. That's fixable.
Yeah,
these are things that are fundamentals. You got to win before the snap. And then also his arm talent. What's going on with your arm? Cam Newton's never been a guy that threw for 5,000 yards. We need Cam Newton to come in here and just make the right throw. So these are things that they believe with the right coaching, with the right offseason, Cam Newton can be the guy this year.
You could argue, though, that Cam himself has been pretty injury prone the last couple of years, and we're hoping that it's just mechanics and not lingering injuries, because then if you don't move up in the draft, that's you're right. choosing between an injury prone quarterback and an injury prone quarterback, and those aren't two great choices.
Everybody's injured in the NFL.
All right. That's great. Time for drawing a blank now. According to Fox Bet, the Jaguars are co-favorites to land Julio Jones if the Falcons pull the trigger on a trade. We're hearing they've been getting a lot of calls on him, and wouldn't that be a nice little welcome gift for Trevor Lawrence? So, Brandon, the Jags trading for Julio would have Trevor feeling blank.
It should have him feeling nervous, because if you're smart, then you know Julio Jones doesn't want to go to Jacksonville. Why would Julio Jones want to go to Jacksonville? Look, I'm from Orlando. You know, I've been there for a very long time. Got a lot of friends from Duval. But if you Google top cities in the United States, they're not top 20. They're not top 30. And then also, you know, as an aging player, there's a few things you're looking for. Championship and money. Well, money, he has the money. He's been making a lot of money for a long time, and he'll continue to do that wherever he goes. And then championship, you have no opportunity to win a championship. To me, that should be the only thing on Julio Jones' mind or top of mind is, where can I go now to solidify my legacy and win a championship? And I just don't see that happening in Jacksonville. So Trevor Lawrence should be nervous, Nick, because he'll have a wide receiver there in the huddle knowing, like, man, he really doesn't want to be here. He don't want to play with me. So nervous.
Listen, while all of us agree with you that when you Google top American cities, Jacksonville is not listed, the rest of your commentary I have to take slight issue with. If Trevor Lawrence is the next John Elway generational prospect, then they become a contender by getting him. And I, while Julio, it might not be at the top of his list, I don't think, you know, I don't think Atlanta's going to trade him somewhere that he says, I won't report to. So if this were to happen, then he must sign off on it. I said he should feel elated if this happens, not only because Julio's great, but Julio is the exact type of receiver a young quarterback would want. No diva to him, team, a great team guy, and a great leader for the entire wide receiver room. It's very hard to find another receiver in the league that would be better to fit with a young star rookie
quarterback. Well, let me ask you a question.
So for all those reasons, yes, please, ask away. What up, Brandon?
How many more years does Julio have left in him? So he's going to go there and wait for Trevor Lawrence to develop? Like, we don't know if Trevor Lawrence, we know his upside, we know his skill set, but that could take years, Nick. So how many more years do you think Julio has in him?
Oh, let's say Julio's got four more years. I guess I would say, with the way I look at Lawrence, I think in today's NFL, year two, these guys can compete for Super Bowls. Year two, Mahomes won the MVP. Mm. Year two, Russell Wilson won the Super Bowl. Year two, we saw Andrew Luck's team win 11 games. Like, I think year two, you're ready to win, Wilds, if you're as good as people say Trevor Lawrence is.
See, my original answer, Nick, was best in the division. I was like, oh, probably better than Carson Wentz and T.Y. Hilton, and probably better than A.J. Brown and Tannehill. But after hearing Brandon, who dabbles in multiple things, dabbles in a little supplements, a House of Athlete, dabbles in podcasts, dabbles in being a football analyst on this show, also dabbles in being a terrible reporter. Not because the facts are terrible, but he like hides his reporting. So when he says things like, I know people and I've heard things and Julio Jones doesn't want to go to Jacksonville, okay, I don't think this is happening anymore, courtesy of Brandon, one of the foremost football journalists in America.
It's a great take.
Who doesn't know it? That's what you forgot. Who doesn't know it?
No.
He'll spend 4 hours talking to Julio, and then there you go. No, it's great. Let's talk more about the draft now. Heisman winner Devontae Smith continued to defend his slender frame yesterday. He said, quote, hey, we're not weightlifting. We're not bodybuilders. Brandon, Devontae Smith's response to all the talk about his weight is blank.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I love this. This came, this, it sounded like it came from a savvy veteran, you know, that, that understands the media and how to approach it, you know, and listening to this dude, man, it just makes all the sense in the world because he's right. You know, LeVar was on the show last week and he talked about, well, you're 166 pounds and, you know, that's just going to, you know, be brutal for his body, etc. Well, there's a lot of guys that's 250 pounds, 300 pounds in the National Football League who come in, who look like Tarzan and play like Jane. So that doesn't matter how big you are. Can you produce? Can you play the game? If, and at the, in a, at the wide receiver position, do you have the vision? When you're coming across the middle, do you see the safety coming down? Do you feel that? Are you capable of making a move in midair? Are you capable of, soon as your feet hit the ground, can you get down or can you make a move? He's shown that at the highest level. This is the Heisman winner, Nick. 1,800 yards, yeah, 23 touchdowns, right, in the SEC. It takes a lot to get that done.
Yeah, that's all true. The only way that take could have been delivered better is if Brandon did it shirtless and you would have seen, oh, wait, they are actually bodybuilders. Oh, wait, this is literally inaccurate. Because, guys, not only are NFL players these days bodybuilders, they are inventing new ways to bodybuild. Derrick Henry's like, hey, watch me on this ball and this resistance band with a chain around my neck. And so I was like, oh, let me one-up you. I'm not saying Devontae Smith can't be great. Marvin Harrison was very thin, slight frame, first ballot Hall of Fame caliber player. So I'm not saying that this means he won't be great. But the statement's wrong. Like, he will be an outlier because the most of the league actually are bodybuilders, Wilds. Most of them are.
It's not
most
true.
Of them are closer to Brandon.
It's not true.
Than Devontae Smith.
It's not true. Spent 13 years in the locker room, and it's just not true. There's a lot of bad body guys. Like, you'll come in and you'll be surprised. A lot of guys are just bad body at all the positions. It's not true.
Bad body. Brandon, would that come out? Like, you got a bad body. Come on over to
yeah,
House.
Yeah, you say it. You hey, see also, a guy, you tell him, bro, go lift weights. Bad body. You tell him right away.
Bro, go lift
bad
weights.
Bad body, bad body, bad
like,
body.
This
body.
Is like high school. Like, when you're 14-year-olds. How about you go lift weights? Go lift weights, nerd. We're in the NFL. Hey, shout out to Mr. Natural, Minnesota, Greg Jennings. Talk about wide receivers who are bodybuilders. This guy just literally took it the whole way. So bad news, Greg Jennings. You got to stop your bodybuilding career courtesy of Devontae Adams. No more bodybuilding for you for a wide
Devontae
receiver.
Smith.
Oh, my goodness.
Touche.
Gosh darn it.
Touche. All right, let's talk about Justin Fields. So Chris Sims' latest mock has Fields falling all the way to the Super Bowl champion Bucks at the end of the first round. Remember, he was once slated as high as 2. This has him falling to 32. Brandon, the idea that Fields could fall to the Bucks at 32 is blank.
Yeah, curious. I think we all should approach this with curiosity. You know, and listen, I've been playing phone tag with him because I want to get his thoughts and I'm trying to get into his brain of why he said this and why he has him at 32. Now, the sentiment is that Justin Fields is sliding. And the reason why this is curious is because there's some guys out there that does work. There's some guys out there that really know the game and they are connected to people in the National Football League. And they understand the process and respect the process. That's Chris Sims. Chris Sims is a guy that, you know, has a crazy work ethic. His workload is tremendous. He's talking to everybody. And he's not just putting stuff out there to make headlines. That is not Chris Sims. He says crazy things all the time, but he believes it. And then he can back it up with points, whether you agree with him or not. So you should be curious here because this is telling me that my friend, my buddy, he knows something that we don't know. And this is alarming.
Well, tell your friend and your buddy that your other friend and buddy, Nick Wright, is envious and thinks this is brilliant. Because right now, we are in an oversaturation of mock drafts. And how do you, in the 48 hours before the draft, get your mock draft to the top of the media pile? Well, you can't go quite as far as to be like, I'll tell you who the Bucks are going to take at 32. Air Bud. Remember that golden retriever? Dude was amazing. Heard Brady loves him. Like, no people will take that seriously. That's a step too far. But Justin Fields, who we started the show with, Patriots trading into the top 10 to get him. And now it's like, by the way, he might be a day two pick. Brilliant, Sims. Well done, sir. As a take aficionado, I respect
we're talking
it.
About
well
it.
Done, Chris Sims.
Okay, my answer was Bears safety net. There's no way that Justin Fields, a Midwestern guy, falls below 20. And I don't know where Kanye is right now. Maybe he's in LA, maybe he's in Colorado. But if Chicago's own Kanye West hears that the Chicago Bears are on the podium and select someone other than Justin Fields at 20, if he's available, he needs to pull the old Taylor Swift and bum rush the stage and say, I'm sorry, we picked whoever, Micah Parsons, but our real pick is Justin Fields at 20. And that will be a that will count. That will be an official draft pick if Kanye is able to go up there,
Jeff. I agree. Kanye's got a lot
between
going on.
Kanye and Air Bud, that entire segment just went sideways. We gotta talk some basketball because the Golden State Warriors got their doors blown off from last night by the Mavericks.
Ooh.
Talk about the fallout in the Bay next. First things first. It wasn't pretty.
Jenna, did you almost curse? Did you almost?
Okay, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So, to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF.
Hey, Terry Bradshaw on Fox Super 6 are giving away $5,000 for each day of the NFL draft this week. One of the day one contest questions is, when will the first defensive player be drafted? Brandon, what do you think?
I'm going to go to the Atlanta Falcons at 4. I know we talked about Kyle Pitts landing there and how they can't pass up there. But, man, you know, you got so much money invested on the offensive side. You're okay. You know, they're good enough. You need to go shore up that defensive side. So I see them making a move on the defensive side at 4. So I got to go there.
I'm on the exact opposite end of the spectrum. I think it's the Cowboys at 10, so I'll take 10 or later. I think the first 9 picks of this draft, we have 4 quarterbacks, 2 wide receivers, 2 offensive linemen, and Kyle Pitts. So there's your first 9. So I'm going to say 10 for the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, I agree with you, Nick. It's got to be Cowboys at 10.
I think it's going to be the corner from Alabama, too. Sorry, Jenna, go ahead.
Could be. This can be fun. No, that's okay. We can still talk about it. Or I can tell you this. You can download the Fox Super 6 app. You can play for free for your shot to win. You can make sure, though, that you do tune in to NFL Network for round 1 tomorrow, 8 Eastern, to follow along live. How about we talk some NBA now? It was a rough night for the Golden State Warriors last night. They were hot, and Steph Curry was in the MVP conversation, and then they went out and got absolutely obliterated by the Mavs. What happened? They had that streak going. In fact, at one point last night, Dallas went on a 28-0 run. Say it, Nick. It ain't.
That ain't great. That ain't great, Jenna.
That ain't great.
It ain't great.
Here's Steve Kerr, who has the same sentiment as Nick does on last night's Dubs Dud.
I'm not that concerned about a 9-minute scoring drought. I'm concerned about defense. I'm concerned about a level of intensity and preparation and competitiveness. That's what was missing. And I'm the head coach, so I did not have them ready to play. Clearly, biggest game of the year, and it was over before it started. So really, really disappointing. But we've got a young team. I think of the guys who are out there tonight, I think we only have three guys who've been in the playoffs. Tonight was kind of like a playoff game for Dallas. They lost last night. They know we were right on their heels. They came out like it was a playoff game, and we came out like it was an exhibition game. And very disappointing. I thought we were beyond that, but obviously, we took another one on the chin tonight. So, like I said, just really disappointing. I'm disappointed in myself for not having them better prepared. I'm disappointed in the way we just didn't meet the challenge as a group. It's a shame, but we've got 10 games left and we've got a lot to play for. And we will be better prepared next game. I know that.
We got Chris Broussard joining us now. Chris Broussard, good morning to you. There was a lot there from Steve Kerr. What would you make of what he had to say about where the Warriors were coming into last night's game?
Well, I agree with just about everything he said. The only thing I disagreed with him was when he said, we'll be better prepared for the next game. I can guarantee that. He can't guarantee that because they should have been that prepared for this game. He obviously thought they would be going into it, and they weren't. So outside of that, he was right on the money. He was right to take blame on himself. Steph and Draymond, as the leaders of the team, deserve some blame as well, as do the young kids, of course, who were playing. Look, when you consider the context of this game and what was at stake, all right, you're trying to get the tiebreaker against a team you theoretically could battle for the sixth seed, in Dallas. It's a team that's owned you for the last two seasons. It's a team that just is playing the second night of a back-to-back. You have your three best players, Steph, Draymond, and Andrew Wiggins. You're at home. When you consider all of that, it is worse. I forgot some stuff. You trailed by 43 at one point. You gave up a 28-0 run. You consider all of that, and it is worse than the 53-point loss to Toronto earlier in the season because Steph and Draymond didn't play in that game. So this was the worst loss of the season and at the worst time. So the only good things are these. One, they came out of that Toronto loss and went on a nice little run of wins. Their next six games are against teams with losing records, although Minnesota's all of a sudden playing good basketball. And finally, this will put to rest the notion that Steph, as a ninth or tenth seed, was going to win the MVP. So those are the only silver linings to this.
That's right. And listen, Steph was the only Warrior that showed up at all last night. Draymond Green, the greatest defender in the history of basketball, if you haven't heard that, ask him. Didn't really do his part. I think he took one shot and was part of a defense that allowed 133 points to be scored. But here's the problem, Wilds. We have heard about teams that believe they can flip the switch, right? And that's usually like a team that's coasting in the regular season and the playoffs is going to flip the switch and become a championship caliber. The Warriors, under Kerr, have tried to have it both ways this year. And you brought it up before the show, so I don't want to step on what you're going to say, but it leads me to the bigger point, which is when Steve Kerr said back in February, we're not going to chase wins. And the end of that quote was, listen, we believe we can compete for championships in the years down the road. Well, when that is what you're telling your team 6 weeks into the season, that like, this year we're going to try to be good, we're going to try to make the playoffs, but since we can't win the title this year, how much does it really matter? It is hard 3 months later to convince your team this is a really big game. Because to me, the messaging from Golden State has been for the last 2 years, there are no big games. because we are a steak and lobster tail franchise, and right now we're being served some really good sandwich meat, and that's not. What's the point of that? What's the point? So I everybody loves Kerr, but some of this is that he has made it clear that even though they have Steph and the greatest defensive player ever and an all-time great fourth option, according to Chris Broussard and Andrew Wiggins, and the number two pick of the draft, Weissman, when he was healthy, we can't win the title. Steph Curry's the 15th greatest player ever, but we can't win the title, so what's the point? And so, yeah, it's hard in the stretch run for Wilds for guys to lock in, because what's the point? What's it matter? That's a problem.
So, Broussard, do you blame them? Because the corpse of the Warriors dynasty that we see out there that teams love to beat up on and love to take shots at and love to, we've heard quotes through the year that it's like, they're getting us back for what we did to them. This is not the same Warriors. And I think Nick brings up a good point that if you've been to the top of the mountain, if you've won the championship, if you've been a dynasty, if you've won 70 plus games, the idea of having the juice of fighting for the play-in game, like Draymond said, it's just not there. And I know Steve Kerr's like, it's my fault that I didn't have the guys up. Like, give me a break. The self-flagellation of Steve Kerr. Like, Steve Kerr, you don't play for the Bulls or the Spurs anymore. Your job, you don't put on a jersey, fire people up, make some shots while there's a 28-0 run. I don't think the core of this team, the mental makeup, the emotional makeup of this team is built for a rebuild. They're not Klay Thompson away. When Klay comes back, this team is not going to be a great team. They were great. I'm going to say, Broussard, you should probably think about breaking up the Warriors and everyone would be successful with another chapter rather than trying there to recapture go. Their old glory.
Well, look, I've said this about Steph. He's under contract for next season. Run it back. See how good you are when Klay gets back. If they're a fourth seed and go to the second round of the playoffs and lose in a tough series to one of the LA teams or something, then you feel like, okay, we're a couple of tweaks, a couple of small additions away from really competing for a championship again. Steph can lock in and stay in. But if they end up being a seventh or eighth seed or in the play-in again and they lose in the first round, then I think Steph should look elsewhere. Now, I'm not buying that because you've won championships, you can't compete. I think Brandon can speak to this. Every night you go out there, you want to win. And you're just competitive by nature as a professional athlete. So I'm sure, I do think Steph is like, look, let's get in the play-in and see what happens. Let's get in and, we can win the play-in. We can take our chances in the first round. We're playing with house money. So I think they're competitive in that regard. But if I'm Steph, I would love to see him play the final 5 years or so of his career trying to win championships. He's still obviously very much in his prime.
That's true.
So I think the question is going to become, does he move on? Especially if another super team, like if Brooklyn is healthy and emerges, right? Then somebody's got to build somebody to beat Brooklyn if indeed they stay healthy and look as good as we think they will.
That's the conversation right there. Last night just brought this conversation back to the forefront. Steph Curry needs to be calling LeBron James, your boy Nick. He needs to be calling him and saying, hey, buddy, what are we doing this offseason? How can we make this happen? Look, if you've been watching all year, you just shouldn't be a shocker, right? Like when Klay Thompson went down, everybody said, it's over. Can Steph even lead the way? No, he can't. You just named the top three players. You said Steph Curry, Draymond, and Wiggins. That's their best three players. So, of course, they're going to be losing. They had one respectable run this year, and then they had the month of April, which really was just Steph's month where he just went insane. Outside of that, they are exactly what their records say they are. They're not a good team. So Steph Curry is the bigger conversation, Nick, where he needs to be looking at, I have a lot of juice. I'm maybe at the end of my prime or, right there in my prime. So, is there a situation that's better for me? I know you love, the Bay Area. You're entrenched in the community there, in the business community as well. But, man, we want to see Steph Curry on a big stage, and I don't see that happening in the Bay, moving forward.
And we're going to get the answer to that this offseason, because the reason he didn't sign the extension last offseason was there's more money in long-term for him this offseason. But if he doesn't sign the 4 years, $200 million they can offer him this offseason, then the Steph Curry watch begins. But I just want to say one more thing about where they're at. Like, I understood last year, KD leaves, Klay is going to be gone all year, then Steph breaks his hand, and they're like, you know what, screw it. There's a good chance to get a top pick. Our guys, after five straight trips to the finals, need some rest anyway. Let's reset. But that's not this year. To me, the Warriors this year are a snobbish team. It's somebody who... What's a good example? It's like somebody that talks down on Outback Steakhouse. Let me tell you something about Outback Steakhouse. It's delicious. It's awesome. Sides are great. The steaks are great. Now, is it Capital Grille? No, but it's really good. And you've got the Warriors who are like, oh, the, you know, a 500 team and we're going to be the seven seed. What's the point of that? Meanwhile, a team like Minnesota is like, God, they're not at Outback. They're at the food kitchen. And they're like, man, please let us come there. Bring us with you once. And I think you got fans of a lot of teams that are saying, y'all got spoiled by the run. And because of that, you can't appreciate what you currently have, which is a top five player in the league in his prime, and you're going to make the playoffs. And I just think it's unbecoming as a whole that they this year they haven't been able to lock in, because guess what? I think they could throw a scare into Utah if they were locked in. But Jenna, they're not. They're clearly not locked in.
They are not locked in, which is why no one won one of your medals last night. Nor did Jaylen Brown, despite 39-11. But my Celtics lost to a very good Thunder team. I'm kidding, they're not good, but I needed something to salvage the fact that Boston lost. Yeah. So no medal for Jaylen either. Nick, who did it better?
Sorry, Jaylen Brown, but when you lose to a team that is actively trying to lose, you can't get a medal. Anthony Simons!
There you go.
Oh, my God, nine straight threes to start the game. Why'd you shoot the 10th, Anthony? Y'all were winning anyway. 9 out of 10, 27 points, plus 42 in the plus-minus. Silver medalist Giannis. Ho-hum, Giannis, nobody cares. 29, 12, and 8. There's another win, another great performance, but he won two MVPs, so now we're going to give it to Jokic, a clearly inferior player. Gold medalist Luka! Luka, damn you Warriors for not competing harder. If you had, Luka might have had a 50-point trip dub. 39, 6, and 8 in 28 minutes. Oh, my goodness gracious. Look at Luka Doncic, and look at this. I mean, what's this defense, guys? Come on, Warriors. What are you doing? What is Andrew Wiggins trying to attach to his hip? What are you doing? All right, so there it is. There's your medals for the day, Jenna.
But Steph Wilds, who came real close? Who missed it last night?
What? Well, after the show, Jenna, I'm going to take a formal petition down to the league office on behalf of Boban, the world's nicest human, or certainly top five nicest humans in the world, who received a flagrant two and was ejected last night. And look, the shot to the head, but it had no malice to it. It's just that Boban is gigantic and had a shot to the head. I do think that being super nice get you a flagrant one and not a two, so I'll be filing that with the commissioner's office shortly, Jenna.
Nice, but also gigantic. We got some breaking news to send your way. Antonio Brown's got a deal to return to Tampa Bay. What does it mean for Brady and the Bucks? We'll break it down on the other side. Chris Broussard, as always, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jenna.
Back here talking about the breaking news this morning out of Tampa. The Bucks have continued their offseason of signing up all the pieces that delivered them a Super Bowl last season. This morning, signing Antonio Brown to a one-year deal worth up to $6.25 million. Remember, Tom Brady petitioned for AB to come to Tampa originally and pushed to get him back. He now gets his wish, and we get our wish. We get former Pro Bowl receiver TJ Houshmandzadeh joining the conversation now, but Brandon, let me start with you first. What does AB's return to Tampa mean for Brady and the Bucks now?
Oh, this means everything. This is dangerous. Go back to 2019 when he found himself in New England. They go down to Miami. His first debut, he 4 catches and a touchdown. They looked like they were just, you know, locked in, and the chemistry was there, and they knew each other for years, and they played together for years. And then it didn't work out that, you know, then. And then they cut him. They released him. Now he's sitting on the sideline. He's at home. He's on the streets. And all of a sudden, Tampa Bay and Tom Brady come calling. He gets there halfway through the year, and then it was just, you could feel it. It just wasn't right, because you have Mike Evans, you have, you know, Gronkowski, you have all these other guys around Tom Brady, and they were trying to figure it out. But you knew Tom Brady really liked AB. In that moment, you can see the chemistry. There were some big moments where they put him in the slot, and he ran looky, he ran slant, he ran option, and they were on the same page. So for them to go out there last year trying to figure out their identity on offense, trying to build the chemistry and continuity with all the playmakers they have on offense, and him put up 500 yards, and now they have another season, we can see a scary AB. Because we can't get this twisted. AB takes care of himself like a Tom Brady. He takes care of himself, TJ, like a LeBron James. This dude is still in his prime. But because of his situation, we're not seeing him produce at a high level. This dude is in year 10, and he can still easily put up 1,500 yards and 15 touchdowns if he was in the right situation.
For me, when I look at it, is for Tampa Bay, in the era of free agency that we are in today, never seen this, where the returning Super Bowl, they return every player from their team that matters. Like, they're returning everybody. And when have we seen this? The crazy thing that I don't get is this. You got Chris Godwin franchise, they're going to get him the ball. Mike Evans, they're going to get him the ball. Gronk, they're going to get him the ball. It's AB, you're going to be there for a full season. When and where are you going to get your looks? Part of me is like, NFL guys, you don't see that AB can still play. You don't see that he can still give you a minimum of 100 catches and a minimum of 1,200 yards, 10 to 12 touchdowns. Like, what are you guys looking at? Sit down with this man, talk to this man. He can still produce at a high level, and he's being basically relegated to an insurance option. If Godwin or Mike Evans gets hurt, we have a guy that we know can get it done, but why not be that first option? And so for him, it sucks. He kind of blew it with his choices. But for Tampa Bay to be able to bring him back, we've never seen this before.
Brandon, do you think, obviously Tom Brady, big winner, AB, big winner, but we thought that he might be the one guy who Tom Brady let go. It's like, go out and get your money.
Right.
Didn't sign for a ton of money. And we thought that maybe Russ could get him over to Seattle. Didn't happen. We thought that he'd be a good fit in Baltimore. Didn't happen. Right. I'm personally less surprised that he signed back with Tampa Bay, and more surprised he didn't get a bigger offer from Baltimore or Seattle.
I'm not, because of everything Hoosh where he was going with the conversation. $6 million is not a lot for Antonio Brown, and it's up to $6 million, meaning that he has to earn that. I don't know what the incentives are. Is it touchdowns? Is it yards per catch? Is it games played to get the $6 million? So his base could be $3 million. His guarantee could be $3 million. We don't know what that is. We need to wait for the details. The reason why there wasn't a huge market for AB is because of all the off-the-field things. I was a wide receiver in the same boat, and it kills me, because it's like, man, how much money have you left on the table? How much production have you left out there because of the choices you make? If he was in Oakland right now, Las Vegas Raiders, if he was with the Raiders right now, this dude would be making $20 million and still walking himself into the Hall of Fame. Like, this dude was a walking 100 catch season. That's right. Was a walking 10 plus touchdowns a year. He was walking to 1,500 yards when we're talking about, you know, playing with Big Ben in Pittsburgh. So it's just, you know, that's something that we need to highlight there, is because Antonio Brown, man, is a super talent. And, man, did he blow it, just like a lot of us guys, man, just young and dumb and making terrible decisions. Well,
So here's the thing, Brandon, and I think it's very honorable of you to, whenever something like this happens, you remind the audience and you mention that you dealt with your own stuff. I think it's a testament to your character. Yep. But also the timeline matters. Your biggest issues came early. You were able to understand them at some point, right. Got the help you needed, and then you matured, you got your brain chemistry right, and you went on to become the best version of yourself. Antonio's issues, right. We didn't see them publicly at all early. And then they got bigger and bigger and bigger until he's all of a sudden smuggling right. an illegal helmet onto the practice field in Oakland. And everyone's like, the hell is going on here? Like, what? What has happened? Like, we have lost the right. plot. I mean, that is what went down. And so I just think, like, TJ, it is true that the talent is there. But the trust, you had 32 teams. I bet all of them at some point this offseason had an Antonio Brown part of a meeting. Like, hey, we're going down the board. What do we say about him? And not a single one trusted him with top level kicker money. Not a single one said he's worth $5 million guaranteed. And that's the lesson for young guys coming into the league, is that you can be a walking Hall of Famer in the prime of your career. And if you burn all your equity, you're going to be playing not quite for free, but damn near for free on 1 year prove it deals until your career's over. And that is where Antonio Brown finds himself now, TJ.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate. He brought it on himself, and he's going to have to figure. It will be for Antonio Brown, once he gets through this portion of his career and he retires, go tell your story, because it's out of sight, out of mind. Like, the kid can still play. If he's on a team and he's the number one option, it's what Brandon said. He's going to give you a minimum of 100 catches, a minimum of 1,200 yards, a minimum right. of 10 touchdowns. There's a lot of teams that can use that, but because of off the field, he won't get that opportunity.
Back here with Bucky Brooks. Bucky, let's talk about your latest mock draft on NFL.com. You got five quarterbacks going in the first round. Lawrence and Wilson at 1 and 2. You got Trey Lance third to the Niners. Justin Fields falling to the Patriots. That'd be fun. And Mac Jones going 19th to Washington. So let's do this. Let's compare these quarterbacks to some current and former pros. We'll have some fun with it. And let's obviously start with Trevor Lawrence. He's been one of the most highly anticipated prospects at the position for a long time. So, Bucky, who is your NFL comp for Trevor Lawrence?
He is Justin Herbert plus. He's everything that Justin Herbert has been able to display with the L.A. Chargers. Plus, he gives you a little more sizzle. I expect him to light it up when he steps into the league.
Oh, Bucky, you're so right here. But the only thing that's off for me, man, is just off the field. Justin is a little quirky. Like, remember the hair that he had? And it was just like he just showed up to the press conference, sleep in his eyes. And then a couple weeks later, you know, he came in with a shaved head, a buzz cut. And he was like, well, what happened? What's the look? He's like, I don't know. I just woke up in my strength and conditioning. Coaches said, let's shave it. And I did that. Look, these guys are ballers on the field. But off the field, this dude is a little bit different. This dude, to me, is Peyton Manning. And he's also a little bit of Cam Newton, but man, these guys can ball. I'm excited to see him in Jacksonville.
It's funny that you brought up Peyton Manning, because he wears number 16, because that's the number that Peyton Manning wore at Tennessee. He gets it. He's an all-time leader. He has the winning pedigree. He is going to be a thermostat leader in Jacksonville. He's going to change the culture.
Let me ask you a quick question, Bucky, and this is a little off the board, so I apologize for putting you on the spot. If this trade was a third party said right before, you know, in the next 24 hours, hey, Jacksonville, you want to trade the number one pick for Justin Herbert? Does either team say yes to that? Do both teams say yes to that? Or does only one team, like the Trevor Lawrence for Justin Herbert, is either team interested in that?
No, I think that's a push. I think the Chargers discovered their quarterback last year. I think the way that he balled out for them, I believe they're very comfortable. And Urban Meyer came out of retirement to take on Trevor Lawrence. I think the Jacksonville Jaguars and the community wants a star, and that star is Trevor Lawrence.
All right, both say no. The rare both
say
no.
Let's move on. Bucky, you got Zach Wilson as your second-ranked quarterback heading to the Jets, to Brandon's dismay. Bucky, who is your NFL comp for Zach Wilson?
Okay, hold on to your hats, because I'm going to compare him to Aaron Rodgers. Not because he's going to come and do those amazing Aaron Rodgers things, but stylistically, his game is very reminiscent of Aaron Rodgers. He likes to play on the move, off platform, off the script, improvisational wizard, but he also can play on touch, timing, and rhythm. He's a fantastic prospect.
All right, so this was the one that jumped off for me. You know, spoiler alert, we prepare for these shows. So I know who Bucky's going to say for each one. And when I saw this one, I was like, I need to go first on it. All right, we have heard a lot about Zach Wilson's ceiling. Let me ask this. What's the floor? And not floor like he gets injured or he's does, you know what I mean? Let's assume that he has a 10-year career, that he plays. If the ceiling is Rodgers, is there a comp that comes to mind of if he only realizes 70% of his potential, or if he's not quite the guy that he appeared to be in his pro day in the magical season at BYU?
I would say Jeff Garcia, longtime NFL player that has played at a high level for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the San Francisco 49ers, and those things. He's a mobile playmaker. He can do a bunch of different things. Look, the frame is maybe the biggest thing that you worry about, because he has had some injury stuff at BYU. But when you talk to the people around BYU, toughness, athleticism, high IQ, he's built the right way. We'll see how it plays out for him at the next level.
Bucky, I know we're talking about Zach Wilson, but man, I've been pounding the pavement for Justin Fields.
Here we go.
And that's the guy I wanted to see in New York, okay? The last week or so, I've been straddling the fence saying, you know what? I may be seeing this wrong. It may be Zach Wilson at two. And if that's the case, then you know what? We're going to bring this out of retirement for you, okay, Zach Wilson? So if you're going to compare Zach Wilson to Aaron Rodgers, and that's sweet for the Jets. If that's what we're going to do, then that means we're going to be just fine. We're going to be just fine. We're going to be okay. We pass up on Justin Fields, who I like, and we're going to bring in the next heir apparent to Aaron Rodgers, as far as like taking it and the gunslinger playing on time. I like it. I love it. Nothing else there for me, man. I love it, Zach.
You sold him. Bucky, you sold him. That's amazing. I can't believe you sold Brandon.
I can't believe he's come over, but I would say this. I like Justin Fields as a player better than Zach Wilson, but if we made the comparison stylistically, his game is more like Aaron Rodgers than that. But
it's more like Rodgers.
He's unique, man. I can't wait to see him in this Shanahan system.
All right, Trey Lance is up next. Bucky, you've got him going third overall. Who is your NFL comp for Trey Lance?
My NFL comp would be Donovan McNabb. That's Super 5, because I think people forget the Donovan McNabb that entered the league, the one that came out of Syracuse running the freeze option, making big things happen with his legs. Trey Lance has that ability. When you look at Trey Lance dominate FBS competition, man, it is really spectacular. This is a big-time playmaker, ran for over 1,100 yards. He finds a way to get it done. I know people talk about he only has 17 starts, but mind you, that's the same number of starts as Mac Jones, and people talking about him being the most pro-ready of the class.
Yeah, listen, this is a good comparison. I'm glad that you brought Donovan McNabb back in the light, because a lot of guys forget about how awesome he was and what he did in Philly year after year after year. We talk about going to playoffs, et cetera, et cetera. Look, here's the deal, man. You mentioned it, 17 starts. I don't think we know. I mean, this dude right here, I think a few years from now, we're going to look at this guy and say, he is the best quarterback that came out of that class. This dude's upside is tremendous. We're talking about the pop in the film room and as a leader on the field. He can do everything. I'm excited to see him at number three, and I am convinced that that's the 49ers guy.
Yeah, now when you think about him and what he did at North Dakota State, he ran a multiple offense, under center, shotgun, traditional pro concepts, quarterback run game, RPOs. He can do it all. I am saying this. I think Justin Fields would be a better pick for the Niners, but if Trey Lance goes to the Niners, look out, man. You're talking about fireworks with all of the weapons that he would have around him, plus their running game. No one wants to face this kind of offense with that kind of playmaker at the quarterback spot.
All right, we touched on Justin Fields with all of these, so let's talk about Justin Fields. Bucky, you've got him sliding to 15 for the New England Patriots. Who is your NFL comp for Justin Fields? I'm really curious about this.
I feel like the most polarizing player needs to have a polarizing comp. And so I'm going to give him Dak Prescott. And I think when people look at this comp, they can be like, Dak Prescott, like, yeah, maybe, I don't know. But look, Dak Prescott was on his way to an outstanding year. He was on pace for over 6,000 passing yards last year. But if you go back and think about the Dak Prescott that came out of Mississippi State, the rugged playmaker that reminded me a little bit of Steve McNair, that's what I see with Justin Fields. Justin Fields is a certified baller. He's always been 1A and 1B when it comes to the comparison with Trevor Lawrence. And I know that he may fall down the ranks, but man, these evaluators are going to rue the day that they question Justin Fields being a star at the NFL level.
What do you think realistically? Let's say that your mock is right through, and I know none of the mocks are going to be, you know, even half right because so much can change. But let's say you've got the quarterback order right, but New England has decided we're trading for Jimmy G. So New England's out of the market for quarterbacks. If he's there at 15 and they don't take him, how far do you think he can tumble? Wilds brought up the point earlier that he doesn't think he could possibly go past Chicago at 20 because Chicago has been looking for quarterback salvation since Sid Luckman was there. Sorry, forgot another Brandon friend. Aside from Jay Cutler, looking for quarterback salvation since Sid Luckman. All these Brandon friends. What's the furthest you think he could go? Because Dak went to the fourth round, obviously.
I think Chicago would be the spot. If for some reason Chicago bypassed on him at 20, maybe the Pittsburgh Steelers, just because you have to take a quarterback that's there. If he somehow is sitting right there for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and look, I know they have Dwayne Haskins and all that, but Justin Fields is a better player and better prospect than those guys that they currently have in the room. Justin Fields would be a Pittsburgh Steeler if he's not a Chicago Bear.
Wow. Oh, I like that.
All right. You got Mac Jones at 19, Bucky, to the Washington football team. Who's your NFL comp for Mac Jones?
This is a tough one because it's a mix, right? It's Matt Ryan on the high side and Jared Goff maybe on the low side. From the pocket, he can deal, man. He is a point guard. He does a great job of just finding a way to get the ball to the playmakers and letting the playmakers go to work. However, he's a guy that doesn't have necessarily extraordinary traits outside of the pocket. He's not the best athlete, doesn't have the strongest arm. And so the team that wants Mac Jones is basically the team with the offensive coordinator that wants to play a video game from the sideline. Mac Jones is just the joystick. If you put him in a situation where he's supported, he has the weapons, look, he can shine much like Matt Ryan has been able to do.
Okay, so Bucky, do you actually think that works in the future of the NFL to have a non-mobile quarterback? Because I know Matt Ryan won MVP in 2016, but that feels like it's 50 years ago, and it doesn't feel like the wave of the future. Do you think Mac Jones' style of play will translate to the future of the NFL?
It can, but it puts more pressure on the offensive coordinator. Instead of having the athletic guy that can make it right when the play goes wrong, now you have to be right all the time. If you want to play the game at the line of scrimmage and those things, Mac Jones will eventually be able to do that. But much like you saw Sean McVay grow tired of having to be right 90% of the time with Jared Goff, you might see some other coaches grow tired of having to do that with Mac Jones. It can work, but your margin for error is a little slimmer because you don't have the ability to improvise and have those other things go right when the play call may go wrong.
All right, two things, and I've been as critical of the Mac Jones, you know, ascent as anybody, but the comp you make here is a bridge too far and I think a little mean. I just Googled it. Mac Jones has adult-sized hands, so the Jared Goff comp is no fun. More importantly, though,
nice.
I do have a question, Bucky, which is this. On Mac Jones, if the Niners had never traded up, if they had just stayed at 12, do you think there would have ever been this Mac Jones, I don't want to say hype, but, you know, discussion, top five pick, third best quarterback, or is it all tied to the fact that he has been so connected to Shanahan, and they traded up to 3. If the Niners were still drafting at 12, would most mocks, do you think, have Mac Jones going in around the range you have him going in?
Absolutely. Like, here's the thing. When it comes to mock drafting, people say that they don't want to be right. It's what they feel, but everybody wants to guess correctly. And so because you see the Niners go up to 3, you make the comparison, hey, Kirk Cousins, he did it with Matt Ryan. Maybe Mac Jones is the guy that is coveting. Yes, that's absolutely why it's been a runaway freight train for the Mac Jones love. That said, he might have been a possibility at 8 with the Carolina Panthers because they coached him at the Senior Bowl. Sometimes you can fall in love with those prospects that you coach. But I don't think in anybody's mind, when we go through the season, last season during the college football season, where we're saying that Mac Jones was a top 5 player. He may get drafted in the top 5, but no one viewed him as a top 5 prospect when he was being looked at during the fall.
Hey, Jenna, I don't care where Mac Jones goes. I'm riding with Mac Jones. I'm all in on Mac Jones. Oh, what? Mac Jones, he had all the talent around him at the wide receiver position. He had an offensive line. He has Nick Saban, the best coach ever in the history of college football. Well, that's your job, general manager. That's your job, Mr. Owner of the National Football League. Go build your team. Mac Jones is going to be a baller in the NFL, Jenna. I'm all in on Mac Jones.
Bucky, you see what we deal with? We deal with this all the time. Once again, one more look at Bucky Brooks. Final mock on NFL.com. 5 quarterbacks in round 1. We're going to do this thing for real tomorrow night. I cannot wait. Bucky, thank you so much for spending time with us today. Appreciate it.
Bucky!
We are going to take a turn and out some NBA medals. Jaylen Brown, 39-11. 39-11 last night. Good night for him, but my Celtics, bad night for them. They lost to the Thunder, and so no medal for Jaylen. Nick, who did it better?
Yeah, Jaylen was great, but the Thunder lost 14 straight games, most of them by blowout, and you lose this game when you need to win it, Boston. The hell are you doing? All right, bronze medal. Anthony Simons, why'd you shoot the 10th three, bro? You 9 for 9 to start the game, then he missed the 10th. He was plus 42 in less than 30 minutes. Great job. Silver medal, Giannis, 29-12-8. Greek freak. Nobody cares anymore. Everyone's like, oh, that's old and busted. New hotness, Nikola Jokic. Giannis, not even an afterthought for MVP this year, even though he's doing this almost every night. And then the gold medalist. Oh, the damn Warriors didn't compete hard enough. Had they, Luka might have had the rare 50-point triple-double. 39, 6, and 8, and he played as many fourth quarter minutes as I did. 0. The hell type of defense what? Is that, Wiggins? So there is Luka with a gold medal. 39, 6, and 8 in 28 minutes. There's your medal stand, Jenna, for last night. Oh, my goodness. I like that view. There's Brandon again. There's the medal stand. That was cool.
Brandon,
we should do that again. I like that. There it was. The medal stand in the
NBA.
We
won't do it right now because Kevin Wilds, who missed the cut?
Okay, new rule in the NBA. Boban was ejected last night for flagrant 2 fouls. Don't get me wrong, it's a bad hit to the head. Most people get ejected. But the new rule is this. Anyone who occasionally does this, makes a huge heart with their arm to show how much they love the world like Boban did in his TNT interview, can never get a flagrant 2. Never. If you do this, but make a beautiful heart, you never get a flagrant 2. Boban, your ejection will be rescinded once I talk to Adam Silver.
How do you not love Boban?
No
worries. Cuban
I can't
loves
do
Boban.
It.
No way not to love him. Back on this NFL draft eve, talking about the Patriots and what their plans are. They got the 15th pick. Does Bill Belichick have his eyes on a quarterback in round 1? Is he going to move up? We'll find out next. First things first. Back here, first things first, time for stories to start your morning, sponsored by Modelo, brewed for those with a fighting spirit. Let's talk some NFL draft. How about this? According to a report from Albert Breer, New England and Carolina have laid down the groundwork for a deal that would move the New England Patriots into the 8th spot, potentially, to draft Justin Fields. That's, of course, if Fields were to slide that far down. Another report, All-Pro corner Stephon Gilmore could be on the trading block in this scenario. All right, there's a lot here. Nick, you think the Pats must come away with a quarterback in the first round tomorrow night?
Well, I think that they are choosing between trading for Jimmy Garoppolo and drafting, you know, just whatever top player on their board is at 15, or using the pick they would trade for Jimmy Garoppolo and that 15th pick, and now Gilmore's name is being included as well, to go get a guy such as Justin Fields. I would prefer to have Justin Fields. And it's because Jimmy Garoppolo, I cannot trust him. And you might say, hey, you can't trust any college player. Okay, fair enough. But Jimmy Garoppolo has the scarlet letter of injury prone more so than any other quarterback in football. He is the most injury prone quarterback in the league. When he played for New England and had the opportunity to start, when Brady got suspended for one of the many Patriot cheating scandals, he made it 7 quarters. He gets to San Francisco, his first year as the starter, he gets his knee blown out against the Chiefs. They go to the Super Bowls, one healthy year, and the next year, Brandon, last year, he was hurt 2 separate times and missed 10 games. And so I just, right. I think it is a bigger risk to trade for that quarterback than it is to trade up to take an unproven college quarterback. And to add to it, I love Justin Fields. So for all those reasons, I think that makes a lot more sense for New England.
Yeah, I mean, they got to make their move this year. This is the year to do it because you don't have your franchise quarterback. Cam Newton didn't answer all the questions last year for obvious reasons. Like, what's going on with his shoulder? Is it the mechanics or is he done? You know, and then there was times where his performance slipped where we're like, why did you make that decision? I know that they believe in Cam Newton. They believe if he had an offseason, he would have played at a higher level. Now he has that offseason. They believe if he fixed the mechanics, his footwork in the pocket and just making sure his eyes are where they need to be, he will be just fine. Cam Newton is not a quarterback that they're expecting to come in and throw for 4,500 yards or 5,000 yards. So they got to go make their move because this is a deep draft when it comes to the quarterback position. Trevor Lawrence is gone. Zach Wilson is gone at the number 2 spot, the 2 pick, the New York Jets. And then 3, you have Trey Lance. So you got 2 good options and Mac Jones, because I'm high on Mac Jones. Everybody needs to stop sleeping on Mac Jones and then also Justin Fields. So go make your move because you got a guy that can sit there for a year, maybe a half a year, and then come in and play at a high level.
Okay, I expect us to get a quarterback for a second round pick, and I expect that quarterback to be Jimmy G. And I'm taking all emotion out of it. Nick, I know you accuse me of being, you know, in love with Jimmy G. It's not true. Let's just look at the tail of the tape. I did a basic statistical analysis of our options. Cheaper. Oh, get a quarterback on the rookie deal. Totally get it. Jimmy G is going to be about $25 million. Ready to play? Yup. Urgency is important. We need to win this year. Knows the Patriot system. Hello, was here for 4 years, won some games for us. Oh, Super Bowl experience. Got some rings with the Patriots. Also got some rings. I'm going to get a ring. You should have. You should have beaten the poor Chiefs. And then finally, he wields the sword of emotional revenge. This is important to Belichick. I think he wants to be proved right that he should have kept Jimmy G and jettisoned Tom Brady.
He's the only one that didn't have a check.
That's right, Jenna.
Words. That's it for us. Much more coming up next on Undisputed. We got to go. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day, everyone.